Welcome back to the Johnny Londoff Chevrolet Line Change on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
It's big pimping, baby. It's big pimping, spinning cheese.
Eric Camp, TJ, Matt, and Hannah with you. The big news of the day, it's official. Mizzou has hired Konzo Martin to be their head basketball coach. Joining us now to talk about it for PowerMizzou.com on the Ryan Kelly phone line. He's the Colonel, Gabe DeArmond. Pretty slow day for you, I imagine, Gabe, right? Just hanging out.
Yeah, let me think. I got up at 5, and I think I was working by 6. And, I haven't really been off my phone.
Tell us.
So, yeah, slow day.
Obviously, this has been in the works behind the scenes for a while. It seemed to happen fast today, but clearly he was one of their targets and maybe the target. What was it about him that put him ahead of everyone?
I get the sense he was the top guy all along. And people can disagree whether he should have been or not, and I know every AD says that. Hey, I got my one guy that I went after. But I really think that was the case here because I've had people tell me that Jim Stirk told him 2 months ago he loved Konzo Martin. You know, so what really I think set him apart is that Jim Stirk got recommendations from guys like Dick Bennett, who he hired at Washington State, and Tony Bennett, his son, who now is obviously at Virginia. And those guys recommended Konzo. And I talked to a lot of people that I know that are coaches, you know, that are connected to the college basketball business, and they all said, I think that's the hire they should make. So that's the route they went. And look, I understand there will be skepticism, and frankly, I am somewhat skeptical and have been, because the on-court record tells me what Konzo Martin is about 22-11 and one of the last 8 teams in the tournament or one of the first 8 teams out of the tournament. He's that almost every year. So obviously Missouri is banking on his local ties, his ability to recruit, and maybe finally staying somewhere for more than 3 years to change that.
What about Tom Crean? Because he was the other name rumored to potentially be the guy, and Indiana lost last night. What do you think it was about Crean that made him maybe a little bit less attractive for Mizzou?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure how much he really wanted to leave Indiana. Like, the impression I got as this went along is Tom Crean didn't want to be the guy that walked away from Indiana for Missouri. And Indiana didn't really want to be the school that fired a guy that won 2 Big Ten titles in 4 years. And so I'm not sure how serious Crean was. I have been told that Missouri and Crean met. I have also been told it didn't go particularly well. If you know Jim Stirk, or if you've met Jim Stirk, I can't say I know him, but I've met him, and you're familiar with Tom Crean, they're not similar personalities. So I don't know how well that would have necessarily worked together. I think that was probably a factor. But, again, I think more of a factor is Konzo Martin went into this as the guy Jim Stirk loved. And somebody had to prove to him that he was better, and nobody did.
What about Illinois? They obviously have an opening, and he has ties to that university or that area as well. Did Illinois ever, do you think, make him a serious offer? Did he have to choose between the two?
No, I don't think so. I saw what Paul Feinbaum tweeted. I don't know that Paul Feinbaum has Illinois basketball sources. I'm not saying he doesn't, but that isn't necessarily up his alley. Everyone I've spoken to at Illinois has said Konzo is on the list. He's just a little bit down it. They haven't gotten to him probably yet. They are chasing, I think, some bigger fish. I think the timing of this was not coincidental. I haven't even put the full details of this on my website yet. I'm going to in a piece I write when we get done with this. But on Sunday night, on a random Twitter tip, I drove down to the Jeff City Airport at 10:30. And I saw Jim Stirk and Brian White get off a plane that had spent the day in Oakland, California. On Saturday, Illinois had fired John Gross. So my opinion is Illinois fired John Gross, and Jim Stirk said, okay, if I want Konzo, I got to go now. And I got to sell him on Illinois may or may not want you in a few days. I want you now, and I'm telling you I want you now. Let's get this done. And he got it done. So I think you have to give Sterk credit in that, again, you can disagree whether Konzo Martin should have been his guy, but Konzo Martin was his guy, and he went and got him. And now we'll find out if he's right.
Gary Parrish just tweeted out that Lorenzo Romar is officially out as Washington's coach. You and I were texting back and forth last Friday. About,
look out, guys, because this is about to get fun in Columbia.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of the thing. I mean, and there were reasons for not putting this out, but bottom line, they've been going after potentially getting Michael Porter Jr.'s father, Mike, as the assistant coach and bringing the kids with him. What are you hearing on that now?
I think there is a very good chance, and hang on, guys, I'm going to tweet while we're doing this.
Go for it.
I think there is a very good chance that you will see two Missouri basketball jerseys with the last name Porter on them next year. Well, three, if you want to include Sierra. We had a big report on our board from Alex Schiffer, who works for me, this morning, that this is in the works, that the Porter family is looking to get out, regardless of what happened with Romar. Romar's out. Michael Porter is a free agent pretty much as soon as he wants to be one. Now, look, this is going to be like schools all over the country are going to be calling Michael Porter Sr. Kansas will call. Virginia will call. Oklahoma will call. Indiana will call. Those were the rest of his top six. But we have very good information from people all over Columbia and that know this family well that they really like Columbia. And I'll be very frank here, guys. I think had the coaching situation here been different a year ago, Michael Porter would have long ago been signed, sealed, and delivered to the University of Missouri.
What's the deal with the letter of intent versus something else that he may have signed? Well, will he be able to get out of that and go to Mizzou if he could?
Well, first of all, that now that Romar's been fired, that won't matter. But the difference is, and TJ is probably pretty familiar with this, when you sign a letter of intent, that binds you and the school to each other for a year. That is you saying, I'm going here for at least a year. And the school saying, we're going to give you this scholarship money for at least a year. When you sign a financial aid agreement, which was what we had been told Porter signed, now it has since come out, somebody at Washington told the Columbia Tribune that Porter actually signed an LOI, which is more binding. But when you sign a financial aid agreement, all that does is bind the school to you. That says when you show up and go to your first class, we will give you your scholarship money for the next calendar year. But you can sign as many financial aid agreements as you want. You can go anywhere. I mean, you're not bound to anything until you show up for class. But the deal is now that Romar has been fired. Michael Porter, he has to formally request out of his LOI. But no school is going to deny that kid the chance to get out of it. Some schools make it a little tough. They say, we want you to wait to see who we hire. We want to do this. We want to do that. And they make you sweat a little bit, but in the end, it is never worth the negative PR to hold a kid to a letter he doesn't want to honor. So if Michael Porter wants out, Michael Porter is going to get out, and he's going to be able to go anywhere he wants.
Gabe, so if that's the case, you're probably talking about only having Michael Porter Jr. for 4 months, but you can do a lot with that. We're seeing that with Jason Tatum at Duke this year. You can go a long ways. And you've seen Coach Martin be able to pull some guys. He's going to have a first-rounder this year. He had a five-star kid a couple years ago. He went to the Sweet 16 on a pretty good run in his final year at Tennessee, and he was as high as a four seed at Cal in his second year. He has a pretty good resume, honestly, but even you said at the beginning of the segment here that you think he's probably a 22-11 type coach, a 20-11 type coach, that maybe, you know, last eight in, first eight out type of guy. Yeah. I don't see that. If you throw out the first year at each of his places, he's got a 660 win percentage. He's been pretty good.
Which is 660 is 22-11 every year.
And he's had, but you have years of 20. I mean, bottom line, I don't think you're going to be stuck right there.
He's never won more than 24, and he's never won fewer than 18 since year one. He's never lost more than 15, but never lost fewer than 11, except in one season. He went 24-9, I think, at Missouri State. Look, this is the argument for him. You get the Porters on board, and Michael's little brother, Jonte, is a 7-footer who is supposed to have one more year in high school, but very well may reclassify and play with him next year. So if you add those two kids, you know, to this roster, and then whatever else you might do, I have been told that one of Konzo Martin's first calls is going to likely be to Jamal Walker, who is currently the interim coach at Illinois, coaching them in the NIT. If he could get Jamal Walker, then Jeremiah Tillman is in play for Missouri because he has a very good relationship with Walker. That is an unbelievable class. They still have C.J. Roberts, a top 10 kid or a top 100 kid signed. I mean, you're looking at potentially four top 100 players in year one. I think you're talking potential NCAA tournament team in year one for Konzo Martin, if that all happens. Now, and I know people who have listened to me over the last 3 months will say, hang on, this guy's a hypocrite. He's been saying you don't sign a coach for one player. And you don't sign a coach for one player. If the only way you could get Mike Porter was to hire Lorenzo Romar as your coach, I'm against that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're hiring Konzo Martin, and part of that is that you get Michael Porter, I'm okay with that. Konzo Martin is, over the last 6 years, even though maybe not an elite coach by any means, certainly a better coach than Lorenzo Romar has been over the last 6 years.
Gabe, what do you think about his ability to stretch Mizzou's reach further into Illinois? I mean, to me, it seems like this is the type of hire that can extend the borders, and you always hear people talk about what it means to close the borders and keep other teams out. This should allow them to be able to go into Illinois, I would think, with more frequency on an easier basis.
Yeah, and I think he's going to bring Tracy Webster with him, probably. That's what our Cal guys believe. And so, obviously, Tracy has a lot of ties in Illinois. That'll help. You know, college basketball, much more than college football, is like a national recruiting deal. I mean, yes, regional recruiting can help, but kids tend to go national. When you're only recruiting 3 or 4 kids a year, you have the budget to go all over the country. So I don't think in-state recruiting means as much. But I will say this, guys, if you look back over the last 15 years, had Missouri simply kept the players in Missouri at Mizzou, you've got a top 25 program. I mean, you're talking Tyler Hansbrough, Bradley Beal, Ben McLemore, Marcus Denman, Mike Dixon, all these guys, and Michael Porter, Jason Tatum. You know, if you get even half of those guys, you're a top 25 team.
So true.
We're looking at it. I mean, so I'm reading through Twitter here as we're talking about this. Jeff Goodman of ESPN just tweeted out. He said, it's going to be interesting to see where Michael Porter Jr. lands now. He said he would take him number one overall in this draft, and he is in the 2018 class. He was in Columbia. You've watched him a lot. You think he's that good, better than anybody that we're seeing, better than Jason Tatum, better than the guys we're seeing come out now?
I think he has Jason Tatum potential. I mean, he's 6'9", and he is – guys, I'm telling you, he's a really good player. I mean, I don't do a lot of scouting and things like that. That's not my thing. Our guys who do, I mean, are saying that this kid is as good as they've seen in quite some time.
What about his younger brother, Gabe, that you were just talking about? You said he potentially could have college eligibility next year as well?
Yes, he could reclassify and go next year. Jonte is, I don't know his official height, but he's very close to a 7-footer. He is not as polished as Michael is at this point, but he's 7 feet tall and a very good basketball player, certainly. And, you know, if you throw that out there, I mean, you've got a guy in the middle. Now, I think some of the criticism of Jonte is he's been so much bigger than everybody in high school. Maybe he didn't have to play quite as hard, and maybe he didn't have to, like, just set up down in the post. He maybe kind of floated and thought he was a jump shooter, like a 7'2" guard. He will get a college coach who says that's not what you do. You go down, you know, 4 feet from the basket, and we will get you the ball, and you score down there, and that will work much better. So, that's a possibility. I mean, that is a tell you what, guys, my kids missed the genetic lottery.
And there are how many other Porter boys younger than that, too? There's a few others in the pipeline.
I mean, they've got 8 kids. I know that. Two of them are girls that play.
Send them all to Mizzou.
Yeah, two of them are girls that already play for Mizzou.
Right.
Yeah. two of them are Michael and Jontae. There's at least one younger brother. I don't know, eighth grader maybe. I'm not sure, but it is not a terrible family to maybe get something going with.
So, bottom line, Gabe, this day for Mizzou, how optimistic, excited should Mizzou basketball fans be today with all of these events?
Where you've been the last 3 years, complain if you want, but you're a lot better today than you were a year ago, you know, and you've got a chance to be a whole lot better than that in a few months. Again, if all things were equal, would Konzo Martin have been number one on my list? Probably not, but there are reasons it can work. And I've always said, we judge the hire on day one because that's what we're supposed to do. Let's find out in 3 years where they're at. Maybe it worked better than a lot of people think.
Gabe, what do you think the biggest complaint about Konzo Martin will be, you know, from Mizzou fans? Why would there be any room for disappointment?
He's had talent this good, and he's been a mediocre coach. He's had mediocre teams. You know, he made one Sweet 16 run. He's won three NCAA tournament games ever. They were all in the same year. He was in a play-in game with Tennessee, won that, and then won two games as an 11 seed. And that's it. He's never won an NCAA tournament game outside of that. And now, look, if you tell a Missouri fan, if you told them 2 weeks ago, okay, in 2 years, you're going to be 22-11 and you're going to be on the NCAA tournament bubble, they would all take it. But the problem is, what if that's what you are in year five? So he has to get to 22-11 and on the bubble where he's been, and then he has to go past it, which he's never done. So, again, can he do it? Absolutely he can do it. There are reasons to think he can, but he never has.
Gabe, who would you have hired out of the realistic candidates?
I was big on the Tom Crean idea. Mm-hmm. He's proven. That's probably the route I would have gone, but I would not have had to really work with Tom Crean. So, you know, and I don't know how much Tom Crean wanted the job, you know. That of the list we looked at, that's where I would have gone. I was a huge Kevin Keats fan at UNC Wilmington. Missouri never talked to him. The guy where if money isn't an issue, I'd have gone hard after Frank Martin, but you're not paying a $4.8 million buyout, so I understand why that didn't happen.
We'll let you get back to work, Gabe. Thank you so much for joining us on what I know has been a crazy, crazy day for you.
No problem. Have a good one, guys.
Gabe D. Armand on the Ryan Kelly phone lines. Check out his stuff at powermizzou.com, and you can find him on Twitter at Gabe D. Armand.
God, I hope Colonel gets that beer. He tweeted out about he's earned it today, man.
That's what you're thinking. I'm thinking about Michael Porter Jr. in a Mizzou uniform. He didn't guarantee it, but he said there's a very good chance you're going to see a few Porter boys in this.
And his brother in the same class, who, as he said, is 7 feet tall. And then
we're talking about a guy that Jeff Goodman, who follows recruiting, follows everything, is saying would be the number one pick in this draft. You don't come by those guys
That's
very often.
Crazy. Oh, wow. And that is a program turnaround that could happen in very short order. You go from the worst 3-year stretch that an SEC program has ever had to, you would think, a realistic chance at the NCAA tournament in 1 year. I mean, that's what today may have meant for the program. I agree with the Colonel. I probably would have taken Crean too, but like he said, I didn't have to work with him. This is, if not a home run, it's like a stand-up double. I mean, to get a coach with this kind of background and potentially add on the Porter boys, the Porter pipeline, that's a great day for Mizzou basketball.
But also on top of that, though, I mean, getting a guy in that can recruit in between the lines, too. That's the big thing. Yeah, you get that home run if you can bring both of those guys to town. But more importantly, you can start to recruit this area, and that's huge. And if you can extend that into Illinois and get a few more guys from over there and really be able to recruit on the national level, but get that base of kids that are going to be there as those national kids leave and go to pro early, if you can get them, that's huge, because that's how you rebuild a program.
On the text line, 636 has an interesting point reacting to something that Gabe said. When we asked Gabe about Illinois and Konzo Martin, he said that Illinois is going after bigger fish, and the texter says, why isn't Mizzou chasing those bigger fish as well? And I think the main answer is price. Those bigger fish, i.e. Bennett in Virginia, there was a report, I think it was Bleacher Report, said they were going to offer him almost $5 million a year. Like, $3 million is one thing. $5 million, you're getting into a whole nother
Laterra
level.
Money.
Yeah, that's your Laterra money.
There's only, right, like, there. I think there's only five coaches in all of college basketball that make $5 million or more.
And by the way, just because Illinois is chasing those guys doesn't mean that they're going to leave. So Illinois may have ended up back on Martin like 2 weeks from now. And obviously, he didn't want to wait around for that. And you can't blame him for that.
Illinois is not a destination job. Like again, I think there's five of those. Like, you're not leaving North Carolina, right? You're not leaving Kansas unless you're Roy Williams. You're not leaving Duke. You know, there's honestly,
Kentucky.
Kentucky. That's like, are those your four? I can't.
There's three guys that make over five, and they all make six and up.
Okay.
I mean, so that's elite class right there.
Those are the four. Indiana would have been the fifth. Used to be, might be again, but I don't think you can even quite put them in that category right now. There are like those four schools, and I think this is just a really good day for Mizzou basketball when you combine it. When you hate to say that with Lorenzo Romar losing his job in Washington, that's great for Mizzou, but it really is.
Right. Well, just seeing a contract of that size as well, you know, knowing that Mizzou allowed the department to go and capture someone for the program.
Spend that money.
I don't think this was a Mizzou thing as much as it was a Mizzou donor thing. The Mizzou donors were tired of it. Yeah. They were ready to put their money where their mouth was. And
good for them.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
It's a good sign for the whole organization.
You guys know Jason Whitlock. He's on Speak for Yourself, Fox Sports 1. He got a hold of my win percentage tweet, and he says, Kwanzo to Mizzou is going to get the St. Louis area recruits. He's going to get into Illinois, may even snag some up in northern Indiana. He likes a hire.
It's a bad day for Travis Ford right now.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Travis Ford's probably thinking, man, I had it. I had Mizzou and Illinois both down. I was poaching, and now all of a sudden they
have it. I don't know. I would like to see it. Me personally, I'm about competition. I want to see it. I want to see it be a war ground between the two of them. I mean, go after it, both of them. They both have got... Let's not dwarf the fact of what he's been able to do as far as getting kids interested in coming to SLU. You know, I mean, I think it's going to be a competition, and it's going to be something to see work out.
It's going to be a big thing. I met and got to do the High School Athlete of the Week with Cartier Gordon from Webster Groves. He's a 6'9", 260-pound power forward, and he's committed to SLU over KU, over Mizzou, over 10 other D1 offers. I mean, you can't underestimate that coach and that program by any means.
Jonte Porter, who I assume is Michael Porter Jr.'s little brother, just tweeted out, and I don't even know what this means, what could have been. And he's a Washington commit. He's got that in his profile there. Gabe's right on.
Yeah. I mean, having Konzo Martin with that, and as Gabe said, he may have left anyway, even if Romar didn't get fired. But with that combined, those two moves both happening today has really paved the way for Mizzou. 855-282-8255 if you want to react on the Ryan Kelly phone lines or on the text line. This is the Line Change. Oh, before we go to break, Cam, tell us about Johnny Landoff Chevrolet.
Can I talk about Johnny, please?
Absolutely. He's our buddy. You've been waiting all day. Go
please,
for it.
Please, can I talk about my boy Johnny Landoff? Spring has arrived early at Johnny Landoff Chevrolet, and the savings are in full bloom. This means everyone can save lots of green on every vehicle on the lot. Our lot is packed with over 1,000 new and pre-owned vehicles priced to sell, and we promise to meet or beat any deal in town. Hurry and take full advantage of these crazy-ass discounts. I probably shouldn't have said that, but that's all right. Quite frankly, they have too much inventory on the ground, and that means they have slashed the price on every vehicle in the lot. 2017 Sparks from $9,800. Malibus from $17,900. Equinoxes, $19,900. And my favorite, the truck that I drive every single day, Silverado from $19,900. Johnny Landoff Chevrolet will not be undersold, period. Bring anyone's advertised price, and they will beat it hands down. Visit us at the intersection of Highway 270 and the Washington Elizabeth exit 24/7 at Landoff.com or call 314-837-1800. That's 314-837-1800. Come in today and get a fresh deal at the Johnny Landoff Chevrolet Spring Clearance Sale. Chevy, find new roads.
And this 5 o'clock happy hour of the Line Change is brought to you by Bud Select, brewed for the Lou. Eric, Cam, TJ, Matt, and Hannah with you. It's the Line Change, driven by Johnny Landoff Chevrolet on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.